Welcome back to the Infinitely More podcast. Today, I am joined by some fellows to talk about the student ministries going on here at Grace Church, and we are super excited for this episode, so I'm just going to let them introduce themselves. Logan, we want to start with you.
Absolutely. So my name is Logan Cross. I'm a student ministry resident at the Norton campus of Grace.
Yeah, I'm Isaac Bogue. I'm a student ministry resident at the Bath campus of Grace.
And I'm River Harder. I'm the student ministry resident at the Akron East campus of Grace.
I am his intern, so
that's true.
Also the student ministry, so this is great.
I'm Isaac's intern, so
that's true. That's true.
Like any student ministries podcast that should ever exist, we should probably go around and share like a funny story that maybe has happened recently in your student ministries, or one that just instantly comes to mind. Logan, do you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably been our last high school retreat we did, so it's been a while. But I feel like as a youth pastor, you got to do some crazy things. And like, I shaved my head already, so like that wasn't going to be a part of it.
I thought you just opted for that.
I thought that was your choice. Well, yeah, like you
personal
wanted that
choice, but they were prompting it, you know.
Okay.
But we did. I tried to do this silent library gig out at the retreat, and the activity just bombed. Like it was horrible. I think the really good part of it, though, was I had a harmonica in my mouth while students were waxing my leg on stage.
Whoa.
And just the amount of like it's just back and forth from that. It was pretty wild.
Awesome. Is there a clip of that anywhere?
He actually donated some of that wax, and I put it on one of my volunteers, and I waxed their armpit, so it was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Oh,
glad
with the harmonica. It was great.
Glad it could be used.
That is something. Well, I've not been doing anything like that, but we've been actually gearing up for a retreat we got coming up, Immersion Weekend. You've been praying for that. And we've been giving away prizes to like students that sign up, and if you sign up, you get to spin this wheel. And we're like putting this wheel together, and we're like, yeah, like throw energy drinks on there, throw food on there, throw. And then me and another guy, Will Scaruzzo, we're like, yeah, let's do like you do a punishment one and I'll do a punishment. And we're like, okay. So Will's punishment is if it lands on it, you just get Will's shoes, like off his feet, no questions asked. And the one for me was I get like pied in the face. So we're like, there's like 24 options on this wheel. We're like, this will never happen. So we get up there, very first spin, Will loses his shoes. The next two spins back to back are pie in the face for Isaac. It was absolutely ridiculous.
That's amazing.
Unreal.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but consider it pure joy when you face trials. Yeah.
That's right, man. That's what I read. Yeah. I think my funny story is lately we've got a crew who found out I love Star Wars. And after each Wednesday night, they're just like, hey, we have lightsabers and we want to fight in the dark. And like the whole, everyone clears out and there's just like eight kids who are just fighting with lightsabers. And I fought one of them and disarmed him. And then this young kid, he's like, oh, River's like that. And he just wails on me, hits me in the head as hard as he can with his lightsaber. And just like, I was bleeding. I was like, are you kidding? He was like, I don't know. I was just excited.
He got wrecked by a kid.
And then as hard as he could.
Yeah. That's so exciting.
Yeah. No, fun stuff.
We get more serious and into, you know, student ministries, like obviously there's an investment, that you might not immediately see, but you also might immediately see, but I just want to talk a little bit about the why behind, what you guys do. So if you could give me like a quick, answer on what's the why, behind you doing student ministries.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably say sophomore Logan's. I think that's, mm-hmm. That's the age when I had a buddy from the soccer team invite me to church and came to youth group. And there was just something that, you know, high school me was wrestling with, not finding a place of belonging, or had no idea who I was, what I was trying to search for. And it's something about just the community there, and like in the middle of my mess and frustration, confusions, where Jesus met me. And he just used some pretty incredible people. Like, I had great youth pastors growing up through high school, awesome youth leaders. And I think just being able to be on the flip side of that now and being able to kind of facilitate that for students that are walking through high school who have no idea who they are, who have no idea where they fit in, or have no idea that they mean anything to anyone. And to just be able to like speak truth and like share the gospel with them, that like they have value, their identity is in Christ, and they're worth much more than they could ever even imagine, because it's such a formative time, just mm-hmm. when they're forming their views on themselves and identity in the world. And so I think that's, yeah, just part of the reason I get into it and get so jazzed up about getting what I do now is just because I can kind of see myself in these students or see people a couple of years ahead of me when I met Jesus and realize that, like, I kind of know what they're longing for, what they're really searching for.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I think kind of along those same veins, I know for me and my high school years were filled with, like, I just had, like, no purpose. I was just doing stuff for the sake of doing stuff, and either it was like something I wanted to do or just something like my friends were doing or whatever. And like my life changed for Christ in high school when other adults around me kind of like grabbed me by the shoulders and were kind of telling me like, hey man, like, you know, you got gifts, you got God has great plans for you, and you have a purpose, and none of the things you're doing right now are that purpose. And that like really resonated with me, and that's been something that we've been able to employ like in our students, and something that I think anyone in the high school age is kind of looking at. They're looking for purpose, and something that I've been realizing like more and more, and we talk about frequently, is everything in the world says like, this is your purpose, this is your purpose, this is your purpose, this is your purpose. And if you don't have a purpose, like, you're just going to grab one of those, and you're going to wake up and you're going to be 70 and you're like, oh, I didn't do anything with my life, and I don't want to waste my life. I don't want these students to waste their life. I don't want anybody to waste their life. So any opportunity I have to grab, you know, like sophomore Isaac, sophomore Logan, sophomore whoever, grab them by the shoulders and say like, dude, this is your purpose. And you can not, you don't have to do all the stupid things your friends are doing. You can be doing so much more. So just, you're 100% right, Logan. Like, this is such a formative time of life for so many people. And the fact that like Jesus, the idea of Jesus is not in the ring of ideas of things that high schoolers can do, it is a tragedy. And I want to do everything I possibly can to get Jesus in the ring, like make that a viable option, make that like a real thing, not just like a, you know, I go to church once a week, but like, no, this is, you know, this is my life, this is my purpose.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't say it better than them. And I'll just kind of reiterate it. I remember being completely lost, and I was someone who would go to church every week. And my family follows Jesus. It's awesome. And I was kind of either buying their faith and just kind of pretending I was in all that stuff. And that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You can't say someone else's faith is mine. It has to be your own. And then when I realized what I actually believed in was soccer or being popular, being liked, being gifted at certain things. And I realized the things that I was good at or was succeeding in didn't matter. It led to a place of just incredible anxiety and depression and just that same purpose question, like, what's the point of me being here? And I remember like having a first ever real prayer and being like, God, if you're real and you love me, would you show up for me, please? And he did in a crazy way. And it's the reason I'm here today. I know so many kids are right there. They're in a spot where they're like, does God love me? And if he really made me, what could it be for? What is my purpose here? What's the thing that he made me to do? And one of the things that like I just am obsessed with is unleashing kids to go and just maximize impact for the gospel through student-led, adult-supported community, and just like letting us give them the keys. Go crazy. If you think it will bring people to Jesus and free them from anxiety, depression, from sin, from strongholds, things that are crippling them, I'm all in on that, because I've experienced freedom and in Jesus, and I know he's the real deal. And it's we love because he loved us. You know, it's that is the heartbeat behind it. It's like, I know that's probably the same for Isaac and Logan as well. It's like their lives were changed and I just can't stop it. And it was changed in that moment in high school and middle school. And they're the next church. They are the church now. So unleashing that and showing them that we believe and that we trust them and know that they're made for great things is a huge part of that, for sure.
It's really cool. Rick and I were talking about this recently as we were prepping for this episode. We were talking about how cool it is that kids can be connected to church at this age. Like, to be connected with the body of Christ at a young age is so powerful. And I was talking about my experience and my walk with Christ of like my first few years of following Jesus, I was not plugged into a church, and I was actually that person of like, it's a relationship, not a religion, which of like, okay, but really like the church is, you start to see fullness in the church. Mm-hmm. And what I found was when I put down that phrase and was like, okay, the church actually has something that they can offer to me, which is the body. What I found was stability. Mm-hmm. So like, I would have described my faith walk like this, you know, as I was growing up, like just up and down, up and down. And then when I came to Akron East and got plugged into the local church, I started to find stability. And it's so cool in a world that is so unstable, that especially in the student ministry world, that if there's so many kids that are going through unstable households, unstable this, unstable that, teams, whatever it might be. And for them to find the church, which is stable and has been stable for 2,000 years through persecution, I just find it so beautiful. So the work is really awesome. I want to talk a little bit for a second, if anyone has any inputs on this, the intergenerational relationships. For example, like, you know, we are all on the younger side getting poured into by some older people to then lead the younger people. Mm-hmm. And also there's volunteers that are way older volunteering with the younger and get that sense of like a fatherhood maybe that they've never experienced. Mm-hmm. Can you guys just talk about like the beauty behind the intergenerational relationships?
Yeah, that was, I can, to kick us off, that was a big part of my relationship with Jesus and kind of what I was talking about earlier, that just kind of took that to another level for me, was people like Vinnie Fisher, Joel Hawthorne, Todd Shoemaker, Brad Dieskreek, like these older guys that didn't just see like super annoying high school Isaac, which he was that, but they saw like a lost kid that has abilities but is not using them for Jesus, right? And for them to humble themselves to be patient with me and generous with me and give me the time of day, and like people like that were unbelievably impactful for my life. And it was at those conversations and those life group meetings and the sermons and just like texting them, or like Vinnie Fisher would go get lunch with me at any, like any day. Like it was those moments that more discipled me than any necessarily like church program. It Merge was my high school program I went to, and like, it was great, but like, I got more out of the relationships with the people I met there than the actual programming itself, which I think is the point, yeah, more or less. And so those like intergenerational relationships were key to me. And now that I've grown and slightly matured, slightly, I get to zoom out and look back and look at how like me and my crew of high school friends, like we were counselors for the middle schoolers. And then like the middle schoolers worked with the kindergartners. And there's this whole like cycle of this trickle down effect of like the body of Christ coming together. And now I get to be on the proverbial other end of that, where Vinnie Fisher is telling me like you guys gave me life and you guys gave me purpose and you guys gave me help. And like, I was not picking up on that when I was in high school, you know. I'm very focused on myself to this day, still am. But like, it, understanding the, this sounds cliche, but the spiritual circle of life that like the church offers us is like, it's so beautiful and it's so cool. And I don't know where you find that anywhere else, because like anywhere else, it's like, if you're slowing me down or getting in the way, get out of my way so I can keep doing this thing. But the spiritual circle of life that the church offers is unbelievably beautiful, where like how the Bible describes, like use the zeal of the youth, mix it with the wisdom of the elder, and go take over the world. Like, mm-hmm. That's an equation. If you do those two things, this will happen. That's a genuine reality that's available for all believers. So I just can't underestimate or overstate the importance of that intergenerational connectivity.
It's awesome.
Mm. It's really neat to see that just within, you know, God's people, within the body, like being residents, we're all part of, you know, the next generation leadership that like Grace is all about. And so I think just going through kind of this process and seeing really just the faithfulness and generosity of people mm-hmm. who have poured and invested into myself so that I could be here and right. and do what I love. And also like, we've seen some awesome ways that people that are much older than I am and maybe wouldn't see themselves serving on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night with students, but they nonstop find creative ways in which they can still pour into and invest. And so, I mean, we've got like mentorship roles, like outside of a normal programming. We've got, I had one woman won a scholarship to students to go to our student retreat. It's like, because she recognizes, and I think like the generosity of people, they realize like, hey, maybe what you need from me on a Wednesday night, I may not be able to offer as much, but there's still ways in which I can invest and pour into. And so I think it's amazing. We've seen like groups have, you know, prepared snacks or made cookies, which we always really love, by the way, to say that on the student side of it. But I think just seeing people be creative and how they help make Jesus make sense, because if they, it may not have the energy they feel like they need to, I think people would be surprised. They count themselves out a little too quick, but just like they know that they want to invest into something that's going to far outlast them. And they just find creative ways and different than what you would see with a normal like volunteer on a Sunday.
I just met with one of our, like a life group at our church was like a bunch of 70, 60, 70, 80 year olds sitting in a room, and they asked me to come in and sit with them and talk with them, talk about student ministries. And they're just like, how can we help? How can we invest? How can we? And I'm like, I love that. That they're like, until I draw my last breath, I can't stop giving back. I can't stop pulling the next generation up. And they're like, yeah, can we give money to like get kids to Momentum? That's what we got. It's like, we're like really old and bedtime's at 7. So I'm like, all right. Like they're just like, they're fantastic. They're just like, they care so deeply. That was awesome. And my story is similar to Isaac, where it's like those same people, he said all the names, Joel, Brad, Vinny, Todd, they all just, they wouldn't quit on me. And they gave us reps and gave us shots at doing stuff, which is crazy. Like I was a, I was 17, 18 year old kid, and they let me do what? Like that's like, I'm like, are you kidding me? I was so dumb. Anyways, but like the fact that they just believed in us and never quit on us and just invested time and money and resources and worry and like, you know, like the gray hairs that they have and all that now, which is all our fault and such. It's just so cool to see how that works. And that's shaped us to be the leaders that we all are, is like people just investing deeply in us.
Yeah. And, you know, take a quick pause. Like for the person at Grace that's listening to this, that is invested in some way, whether it's your time, financially, whatever it might be, some type of sacrifice, you know, we want to say thank you, but also like use this as an example of fruitfulness that is stemmed from that, of like, we would not be in this position, literally would not be able to impact the students. And we're about to go into stories of life change. These stories wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you, in the ways that you have sacrificed, in the ways that you have given, in the ways that you have, you know, taken up the gospel and made it your own. So we want to say thank you. And we hope that an episode like this can really give you joy, let you experience a little glimpse of joy that you'll get to see in full in heaven. And so to go into that, like, what are some stories of life change maybe in student ministries that you've seen recently?
Man, dude, I have like so many off the cuff. I'll stick to one or two. This first one is actually takes like my whole me arriving in Akron East a few years ago. I met this this kid, and let's just say my first impression of him was intense. He was just like said random stuff that was just like probably not appropriate. Did stuff that I was like, why would you ever do that with your life? Yeah, just like blatant sin. And then is at Momentum Youth Conference, which is the conference we go to in the middle of the summer. And just like it, all this is happening there. And at the end of the week, I'm like, so what do you think about Jesus? Like, where are you at? You've heard like, I don't know, 12 speakers talk about the gospel. He's like, you know, I don't got time for that. I'm good. Like, I'm here for girls, snacks, and, you know, good vibes, all that stuff. I'm like, all right, buddy. And last year he went to Momentum again, and he's just like pouring out gratitude. Like, if it weren't for my second grade teacher never quitting on me, taking me to church on Sundays, taking me to youth group, taking me to Camp Carl, paying my way to Momentum, getting me connected with Aaron Key, who's playing at Stark North Campus, me meeting you, like, I would never know Jesus. And like last week, this kid brought his whole bowling team to church. Like this, like, you know, like he just complete life transformation came from like having no hope. And someone saw him and was like, you know what? I'm going to give away my life so that you can maybe know Jesus. And it's, that's like my crazy, the craziest one. There's like five other ones, but this other one is my favorite. Is we have a freshman. We do this thing called prayer night. So I'd love to talk more about that at some point maybe. But basically, it's one of my favorite thing we do. And there's this one freshman boy. He invited this girl. Like, this, my friend's coming. And I'm just really excited about this. I think this would be a great opportunity for her to be here and just engage with everything we're doing. And she's sitting in there. And what we do at prayer night is like we do just like what's going on that's good, kind of like what's, how can we like celebrate what God's doing in our life? The other one is like what's kind of challenging our life. And then we take a, do a takeaway moment. And Nick organizes that, does a fantastic job. And at the end of the night, this girl, she's sitting, she's hearing all this vulnerability and seeing the love of God in action, where the people of God are not like rejecting people who are hurting. We're not like shaming people, but she sees this and Nick's like, what's the takeaway? And this girl's like, I've been in church my whole life and I've never really been in on it. I've never been attracted to it. But this is like, if this is what it's actually supposed to be like, I'm all in on Jesus if this is it. And she's like, so we're like, she's like, so I think I decided to follow Jesus tonight. I'm like, what? Okay. And it's like that kind of decision. She's like, this is the, it's like the, they will know you by the way you love each other. Like they'll know you're my disciples by your love for each other in action. And just love seeing that stuff happen all the time. But I love these guys go too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think mine's maybe a little more generic because there's countless names and stories that come to my mind that fit this category. Yeah. But just seeing students like come just because they were invited by a friend. So they really start as a guest to get onto the front porch of the ministry. Like maybe they we get the awesome opportunity at Norton to have impact clubs at the school. And so maybe they get invited to a friend for the Cheez-Its and Goldfish there. But they something there like clicks. And maybe we get the opportunity that they, you know, come to an event that we got and they're they start as a guest, but then, you know, once they start to feel comfortable, they move then to participants in what we're doing. So maybe they're understanding what it looks like to worship for the first time corporately, what it looks like to really like starting getting into reading my Bible. Mm-hmm. And over time, as you know, seeds are being planted, as we're watering, God's doing this growing in their heart that, you know, takes them from just being mere participants to being leaders among their peers. And so we've got students that are part of student leadership teams that they run first impressions on a midweek. They lead our student band and they start to gain this ownership. And I think when they start to gain the ownership in their ministry and leading in front of their peers, like we really start to see things take off. Yeah. Because the best person who's going to reach Timmy's friends is actually going to be Timmy. And so the more that we can get him bought into the mission, the more that we can, you know, connect him to God, like the more that he's just going to radiate that to the people around him. And so I think just seeing students go from guests to participants to leaders to owners and really, you know, helping them to see the Great Commission and be a part of, they want to be a part of the solution in order to reach their friends. Right. I think that's just like, we've seen that with countless stories of where students just want to, they want to own something because then they feel like they can run it and they can be creative with that.
Yeah, 100% on those same lines. Like the coolest thing for me to see as far as life change goes is students like actually just believe in the Bible. Yeah. And I know that sounds like cliche, but like it's one thing to read it, it's another thing to agree with it, and it's another thing to believe it, where you're at a place where you trust what it says and so your life reflects what it says. And like I was just looking up, you know, some numbers and some stuff, and we know that 80% of high schoolers that would call themselves Christians, they walk away from their faith when they go to college because it was never really theirs. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So like some of the coolest life changes like I get to see is like the students that are absolutely owning it 100%. Like they are the ones that are like, can you please come to my school and talk to this kid and like do this thing? And like, would you help me get an FCA started at Copley? Would you, you know, help me understand like this part of the Bible? All the way to, we have students that go to Summit Mall on a regular basis and they just like evangelize to people. And like, they're like, can we have a basketball tournament at Merge? Because then I can invite my whole basketball team. I'm like, yes, we can do that. 100% we can do that. So like, that kind of stuff to me is like, that is one of the coolest things. And like if you ever have the chance to talk to Stephen Favo, that dude rules. But like, that dude just roams the halls and he's like, you want to know Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus? And like, he just asks people if they want to know Jesus. And like, I swear every week, we're just having like random kids from nowhere be like, yeah, I talked to Steven and I follow Jesus now. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, that's really cool. But I just, to your point, like, there's just so many things I can say, but it's just like, it blows my mind. It humbles me that like hundreds of high schoolers would show up to hear about the gospel and then start taking that seriously. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy to me. I was doing such stupid things in high school. Like, that is like unbelievable to me. That like those kids are doing that, and then they're going back into their schools and they're like believing the Bible. They're like living out their actual genuine faith, and it's just like unbelievable the life change that is happening. Like, as soon as you give somebody purpose, they run with it, and like, yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
And there's this on that, there's like this deep desire and search for like, what is true? Like, what's for real right now? Mm-hmm. And there's just like, with all AI and social media, and there's like, you can't trust everything anymore. Kids are more hungry for what's real than ever.
Yeah.
And when they get a hold of what's true, like the Bible, the infallible, inerrant, never failing word of God, mm-hmm, that actually changes things, they just go all out on what's true and they start, yeah, bringing it to their people. And it's like, they can't keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
Cause like, I just found the truth.
No, on that note, like,
yeah,
every person in the world, and especially high schoolers, are trying to find what's true. They're, yes, trying to stake their ground on something, and we would call that identity, right? But they're trying to like live their life on what they think is true. And like, I think right now what you see in the high school generation, and you guys can attest or correct me on this, but it's students that are looking for someone to say, this is true.
Right.
Not, I'm your best friend, we're gonna be pals forever. Or, you know, I'm going to do everything I can, bend over backwards for all your accommodations. And like, there's some of that or whatever. But like, more often than not, I think what they really want is for someone to confidently say, this is true. This is right. This is how we live. And then their life backs that up. Because they, right, high schoolers smell fake from a mile away.
They're like, look at the way I'm living.
Right.
Can't you,
right,
tell?
Right.
Why would I choose this if it doesn't work?
Right.
Yeah.
And so like, they're good. Like, I think there is a bit of a revival wave that has been hitting the college age for sure, but I think is hitting the high school age too, of just like, dude, like, cut the crap. Like, just like, tell me what's real. Tell me what to believe in. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
And if you do that, they respond to that like,
yeah,
big time.
And you don't need to make it like fancy,
yeah,
or anything. Like, you don't have to like fluff. It's just like, here it is. Deal, yeah, with it.
Well, if you do fluff, they're going to be turned off to,
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Right. Right. Man.
Kind of going into that, a little bit of the next question we have is, I'd love for you guys to give a little bit of vision of like, if you have a high school senior right now, what do you hope for them in 4 to 5 years from now? What do you hope for their life to look like? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it can go, we just heard the statistic, 80%, yep, will fall away in college, but coming out of the ministry that God has entrusted you with, what are you hoping for those high school seniors to happen over the next 4 to 5 years, and for where them you hope for them to be?
Yeah, I think we plan incredible games. We plan great services. But in reality, like, I hope that's not what they walk away, yeah, remembering. No. I butchered a quote one time in front of high schoolers where I wanted to communicate that I don't want them to remember my name, but I want them to remember the name of Jesus. And that turned into me saying, like, I hope in 100 years, nobody here knows the name of Logan Jesus Christ. And it kind of turned into like, man, is this my downfall here?
But, I hope that too.
Yeah. But I really think like there's something to the kind of the heart behind that,
yeah,
of like we want them to really just plant their roots in something that's bigger than the events we do or bigger than the hype that comes around. Mm. And when I talk with student leaders and like help them get experiences to serve and plug in ways, I kind of prepare them that, hey, in 5-10 years from now, like, we're just not training you to be the best volunteer here at Norton. Like, no. You're going to go off to college, and our hope and prayer for that is that you plug into a local church wherever you are, and you can walk in with a heart to want to serve in whatever context it is. And, you know, as you go through the years of college and you're starting families, like, you're exploring career paths, like, whatever you're going to do, if you can go and be a youth pastor, if that's what you feel like God's calling you to, and you'll reach students in an incredible way. But you can also go do that being a postman. Like, you can do it in any career field, but, like, being on fire for wanting to make Jesus make sense in that context, and how – kind of thinking in mind, how can I honor and serve God in whatever I do is really, like, better than any game that we play on a Wednesday night. Like, hopefully they're walking away with that heart.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm with you where I'm – you said it. I was going this way. It's like, did I make Jesus make sense to them? And did I equip them to make Jesus make sense to someone else? That's the only thing I care about. If I didn't do that, I failed. And that, you know, I missed big. So in like 4 to 5 years, I would hope that our students are either finishing college and or going into college or the workforce or whatever have you, same thing. And they are on fire and just ready to go and be unleashed and like share the gospel, share the hope of Jesus in whatever capacity that makes sense. Be a postman, be whatever, be an Acme cashier, right? Go into Grace College and go into ministry. Great, I don't care. All I care about is like if Jesus makes sense to you and you can make him make sense to someone else, that you are doing a thing that you're passionate about and that you're leading the charge in some way. It's your way, not River's way, your way, that got your God dream that God has given you to make Jesus make sense. So, yeah.
Yeah, you fellas said it, like to train, if every student could leave knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ, living the gospel of Jesus Christ, and giving away the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is a 10 out of 10 slam dunk win.
Yeah.
Something that I dream about and I talk to our leaders about and our student leaders about is like I don't want high schoolers just to like figure it out later, or like once you get to college then you can make an impact, or once you can whatever. Like I don't want that mentality to be in our ecosystem of thought, because I mean when you read the scriptures you have teenagers doing the things that nobody else thought could be done because they have faith in God in such an unbelievable way. So like something we say like as a team all the time is like we want our high schoolers to set the tone for the rest of the church.
Yeah.
Not just be a part of it, not just contribute, not just fill up momentum, but when our church looks and says, "Man, how do we evangelize?" We look at the high school ministry that all the kids are going into the mall and they're preaching the gospel. Great. When we're talking about, "Man, how do we be faithful?" We're looking at the high school ministry whose first mission place is their high school, and they're not going to stop until every kid in their Spanish class knows about Jesus. And like that's what I want the mentality to be, and that's where I think the bar is set from a biblical standpoint. And this is a little off topic, but I think sometimes as a culture, as a country, and maybe as a church, we've lowered that bar because high schoolers are so difficult and they're so dumb and they smoke so many things and they do all these things they're not supposed to do. It's like yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But like, read the Bible. Like, find me one dude in the Bible not named Jesus that had it all together. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to lower the bar. I'm going to keep it right where it's at. But I'm going to do everything I can in my power to help you get up to there. And when we do that with high schoolers, I think we've all seen like these standout students that do these unreal things, that start podcasts with their friends, that go into their schools and start FCAs.
Right.
That go to the malls and preach and or that just quietly lead their friends to Jesus one after another after another after another. Yeah. That my conviction is that only happens when you keep the bar where it's at. And like I'm rambling because I'm passionate, mm-hmm. but like I'm not really okay with, you know, I'm just glad you're here attitude. And you guys aren't either. I don't think anyone is. But like for us as a church to come behind that and say like, I am glad that you're here. That's step one. Like we're just getting going. Like we want to take over the world, and you can't do that when you're sitting on the bench.
Dude, I'm with you right there. It's like, it's great. Like, the thing I care the least, just on this note, it's like Jesus calls imperfect people to follow him. And that means doing all the things we're talking about, giving it away, know what I'm teaching you, live that stuff out, and now tell everyone to come and do that too. Mm-hmm. And like, some of the, like, one of the things I don't want people to hear is, I don't want you to think, I want a big youth group, or right. No, I do not care if you come to my youth group. I care about you owning the gospel in your own life. Mm-hmm. And then if you need to, if you're gone for 8 months a year doing two different sports, and you're playing basketball, and you're playing football in the fall, and you're sharing the gospel at practice, mm-hmm. and staying after 15, 20 minutes leading a Bible study or praying with your teammates, I'm like, that is like 50 times more effective than you coming to church and setting up chairs. I do not care about you coming. Like we love having like kids there, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
It's not the end all be all.
It's like, there are different people that have been, like, God has made different students to do different things.
Right.
And like, I think that's a thing that often the church misses. Like, how big's your youth group? Or how many kids are you taking? It's like, what are they equipped to go and do the work of, mm-hmm. you know, the people of God, right? That's what we're called to do, is develop the, equip the saints for the work of doing ministry. That's what Ephesians talks about. Yeah. So that's the high school, middle school students.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I think, put my two cents in, and then we'll get back to
it. It's more
the program.
Than 2 cents. It's at least three.
Yeah.
At least.
Give them a buck, Nick.
They don't make pennies anymore. Guys, come on.
Make pennies.
Nickel.
I pray, my prayer has been for our students, is that on a Wednesday night, any given Wednesday night, that there may be one student or all of our students that my goal would be for all of them to be leaving with a fire that will burn in them for the rest of eternity. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I just talked about how I came to Christ and was lacking stability in my faith life, and then found the church and then found that stability. But in my life, I found stability in Christ. And so my prayer is, even when, you know, the churches, like Jeff talked about this on one of our past episodes, of like, none of the churches from Jesus' time are still around. None mm-hmm. of them are open,
mm-hmm.
right? But the name of Jesus is still going, and the yeah. impact and the foundation, all that stuff. And so I just continue to pray that, you know, by the time that we are all dead, there's still a fire burning in those students yeah. for all of eternity. So to move into a little bit of a different avenue, this is a super important topic. We don't have too much time left, so let's not spend a ton of time on this. But to the parents of these kids, mm-hmm. what would you say to them?
Man. Yeah, Nick. I think it's to parents, it's you are the primary discipler of your kid. We want to come alongside you and give you resources, give you tools to disciple your child. I think the youth group is not a fix your kid and send them back. I don't mean to say that in like you guys are doing a bad job parenting if you think that. No, not at all. Like, God gave you your kid on purpose. That is the truth. We want to come alongside you and do our best to assist you in parenting them. And a little bit of this is, yes, you disciple them, and you also unleash them. Helping your kid develop a vision for their life that's bigger than high school, bigger than middle mm-hmm. school, and like painting a picture of like, what would it look for like for you to like give your life to making Jesus known and giving God glory in that way, is the most... that is the investment of your life. And that thing is a lesson I've learned from my parents. Like, they made that investment in my life. And did that with all of my brothers as well. I have four other brothers. They're all following Jesus, and they're all doing that in their own way. And it is the thing I'm most grateful for, is that they didn't hold me back when I started doing crazy stuff, trying to follow Jesus and give him away. I'm speaking just from my experience, but finding a way to deeply disciple your kid and know that, have confidence that you're the right person to do it, and then unleash them to go and follow Jesus. That's what I think.
Yeah. I would say thanks for letting us do this together.
Yeah.
I would encourage you to, like, we want to partner with you. Like, We get an hour and a half, 2 hours with them a week. Right. You get the rest of it. I mean, they got their school, their sports and things, but we want to really partner with you. And as a young guy, I don't entirely know what that means. And so sometimes I don't know the questions to ask you, and you may not know the questions to ask me, but I think honestly, we're going to be you know, the best in discipling your student is if we can just be open and honest with one another. There's times where parents have told me, like, I've been telling my kid to do this for years now, and they come home on a Wednesday night and said, man, you're not going to believe what Logan said, and it's exactly what the parents have been saying. That's going to happen. We are for you and with you in your corner.
Yeah.
Our voices hold a different weight, but we are not competing. Like, we're in this together. And I think another thing that I would say is you have the opportunity to model faith for your kid. And so hopefully you would lean into that, because what we know about students, and I even have like young kids of my own, like they are watching you as a parent, and they're going to pick up on what your actions are. They're going to pick up like what sets dad off, or what is mom really passionate about?
Yeah.
And so you have the opportunity to model that and model what it looks like to follow Jesus for them.
Yeah. Just off of what Logan said, like, first of all, like, seriously, thank you. Like, you don't have to send your kid to the youth group. You don't have to send them to church. You don't have to do anything like that. But, or you don't have to, you know, entrust us with them. But, like, thank you for doing that. And we're gonna try to do everything we can to do a good job with that. I would say just, and again, not to tell anyone how to parent. I'm not a parent. I don't know how to parent. But I don't think anyone knows how to parent, to be honest. That's my hot take, but that's for another day. But I think just to be like genuine as a parent is like so key and is so crucial. And I think a lot of times when I talking to some other parents in our youth group and in our church, there's like a pressure to like get it all right and be the perfect model and be the perfect example and do all that kind of stuff. And like I just want to take that pressure off. You're like, Jesus already did that. You don't have to do that.
Right.
Jesus already was the perfect example. He already was the perfect model. I think what kids are really looking for, and we all talk to it, is a genuine relationship rooted in truth.
Yes.
So like, I'll never forget the moments in my life where my parents messed up and they sat me down and they said, Isaac, I'm sorry, I messed up. I'm like, oh, you do that? Like, I do that all the time. Like, I gotta know you did that too. And like, it was those moments that really brought me together with my parents and understanding like to give them grace and to be forgiving with them and have patience with them because they're figuring it out too. And I think that and another thing to add is don't be afraid to make Jesus the priority. A thing I think we all see all the time is like, you know, coach gets the final say in the schedule, or, you know, the school play dictates the rest of my life, or, you know what I mean? And like, if we're going to say that Jesus is the number one priority, I think our life and our schedule has to reflect that, that truth as well. And kids are just going to pick up on the habits of their parents for better or for worse. And to distinguish that habit of like, no, Jesus is priority and skipping church is not the first thing we're going to do. And prioritizing going to youth group, going to church, and reading scriptures at home and having devotional times and talking about that kind of stuff in the house.
Yes.
Just to bring that reality full circle in every area in life. Because what, like Logan said it super well, like we only get like an hour and a half, 2 hours with your kids. And even if that's the best two hours of all time, it's not going to mean anything unless it's backed up and supported at home. And so just to give that encouragement of like, yeah, like it's okay if that's the number one thing that's going on, if that's the number one priority, because that is the number one priority.
Dude, that's just so smart. Cause like, God cares about every moment of your life. It's like, it's not just like, here's an hour a week.
He doesn't show up Wednesdays at 7.
Wednesdays at 7 and Sundays at 10:45. Those are the two times you get. No, it's like every moment of your life. Like God is like the ultimate, like he's a loving father and he cares about every moment of your life and he wants you to, like, it's like modeling it like that. Like that's what God does for everyone. So it's like, I love that. There's not like one time go to Wednesday 7. No, it's like and drive and you're stuck in traffic. God cares about that moment and how you respond and how you do dinner and bedtime and whatever. Like those are the things that count for sure. Love that.
Yeah. And, you know, to kind of bring us all together of like none of the things, none of the life change, none of the stories that we get to talk about happen without prayer. Right.
Yeah.
You know, River talked about earlier, there's this the group at our life group at our church. They're praying for stuff like this. There's prayer. There's people praying in the church. We are praying for stuff like this. And one of the ways that we've seen that show up is the 30 and 30 prayer calls. You know, they're once a month, three times throughout the first Monday of the month. And we get to gather together, not as just one church, but as multiple campuses, one movement as a church, praying for all these things, not to just happen at an Akron East or Norton or any name your location, but throughout the whole movement. Mm-hmm. And I believe we've seen fruit from that. You know, Rick and I talk about this all the time. Once these prayer calls started and people got engaged in these, we started to see this multitude of fruit just appear. And I don't believe that's a coincidence. So if you want to get engaged on this and if you want to hear more stories like this, I encourage you to join us in prayer. That can be through the 30 and 30 prayer call. That can also just be in the morning when you get up or in that car drive or whatever it is. So if you guys would like, could you go through and maybe name one thing that you just are really praying for your student ministry right now?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me right now is Merge the Weekend is coming up. And these retreats that we have frequently are just like speed boosts in students' relationships with Jesus. So if you, everyone listening would join me in prayer, we're praying for 200 students to be there. And we're praying for unbelievable life change to happen. Our deal we've been making with the students is you invite all your friends, we'll make it a good time, and we'll make the gospel as clear as humanly possible. So that's what we're going to do. And the team's been working really hard at getting that ready. The students have been working really hard at inviting their friends, getting in the schools, being creative with all the things that they're going to do. And just all the only reason we do any of that is so that on those nights where we're preaching the gospel, we get to get up and say, does anybody want to accept Jesus Christ? And hopefully tons and tons of students do. So that's just a thing that is, that's on my mind. That's on the team's mind. Merge the Weekend. That's March 6th through the 8th. So it's coming up. And yeah, just be praying that God does crazy stuff there, because we're asking him to do some crazy stuff.
Yeah. I think if you could just be praying for God to do infinitely more than I could ask or imagine, that would be, that's the name of this podcast, is Infinitely More. Through our students, like the harvest over in East Akron is plentiful. So pray for workers, for staff and for volunteers and for student leaders, to just like to be motivated, mobilized and sent out to do that impact. Like we're doing. The three of us are actually all graduating in a few weeks, and we're gaining some of our brain back. And a little bit for me, I'm like, we're doing a bit of a relaunch for our student ministry. So we're changing the way some things are going to be done, and I'm excited about that. Some of those new things that are happening. We're starting a couple new camps, so pray for Ignite Camp and Camp Carl and Momentum. It just is a place where life change happens and people, they evaluate where their life is at and decide, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? So just be praying for the decisions that are made at camp, that the signups would happen, and that just, especially at Akron East, like right now, it's like we're just kind of launching some new stuff and just for wisdom and not to do a good thing, but the best thing we could do. So just that there'd be wisdom and clarity in that. So, yeah.
Yeah, specifically for Norton campus and our students, just our students, for our youth staff, for our leadership, just for wisdom and discernment to continue to reach our community. Like we have a great opportunity of, we've got a patio right outside of our campus that middle school students and high school students will just walk over with their Taco Bell after school. And so just, you know, be praying that, you know, God would raise up the right leaders and ownership and get students excited to maybe dream about, you know, what God may do through opportunities out there on that court or even just within the local community.
Yeah. Awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. So if you want to stay up to date on what we're praying for, as a movement. We really encourage you to join those 30 and 30 prayer calls. A way to find that will be in the description below. So just take a look there. And if you have any questions for us or what's going on in their lives, just shoot us an email. We'd love to connect to you. And if you're looking to get involved maybe in student ministry somewhere, we'd also love to hear that and connect you in some way. But with that, we'll see you next time.